NTSB dismisses the role of icing in the crash of Flight 3407. A Lockheed test pilot is dead in an F-22 crash. And it looks like Randy Babbitt to lead the FAA. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, March 26, 2009. The National Transportation Safety Board announced yesterday it will hold a three-day public hearing into events surrounding the February 12th crash of Colgan Air Flight 3407 near Buffalo, New York. All NTSB members will sit on the Board of Inquiry May 12th through the 14th in Washington, D.C. The board also says icing may have had only a minimal impact on the stall speed of the aircraft that night. Recorded flight data shows the stall warning activated at an airspeed and angle of attack consistent with normal operations when the de-ice protection system is on. The board also confirmed that the pilot apparently pulled back on the control column when the stick shaker warned of an impending stall. Lockheed Martin says yesterday's crash of an F-22 Raptor in the California desert near Edwards Air Force Base has taken the life of a company test pilot. The International Herald Tribune cites a company statement in reporting the pilot was 49-year-old David Cooley, a U.S. Air Force veteran of 21 years, who joined the company in 2003. There's no word on whether Cooley ejected or tried to, only that he was transported from the crash site on the Harper Dry Lake to Victor Valley Community Hospital in Victorville, where he was pronounced dead. The Associated Press took a statement from Air Force Major David Small, who said the jet was assigned to the 412th Test Wing at Edwards and was on an unspecified test mission when it went down. There has been just one previous F-22 accident that resulted in the loss of an airframe. That December 2004 takeoff crash was attributed to failure of an electronic control. The pilot ejected safely in that one. Get additional details and any available updates in text form throughout the day at aero-news.net. The Wall Street Journal cites unnamed sources in reporting former union leader Randy Babbitt will be formally nominated by President Obama to be the next FAA administrator. Babbitt served as president of the Airline Pilots Association for much of the 1990s and most recently served as an industry consultant, first independently, then as part of the larger firm Oliver Wyman. Reports indicate Babbitt's vetting has been fast-tracked due to a recent series of high-profile aviation accidents. Babbitt's inbox holds union disputes, next-gen, user fees, and the constant background noise of NTSB recommendations and a lawsuit charging the FAA has been slow to implement them. Public officials and news media in California have obtained the U.S. Marine Corps report on the December 8th crash of an F-A-18 into a San Diego neighborhood. The Los Angeles Times reports the document was released under the U.S. Freedom of Information Act in heavily redacted form, but does confirm the pilot was following orders to overfly dense residential development to attempt an emergency landing at Air Station Miramar when he passed up a closer available runway with an approach over open water at North Island Naval Air Station. The Corps has since relieved four officers of duty, a sanction which could end their careers. Still, Lieutenant Dan Neubauer, who was identified in local media reports but not in the Marine Corps report, was criticized for, quote, an unacceptable lack of assertiveness, even given his lack of experience, unquote. The report also confirms that a fuel problem with the plane was known to maintenance personnel for months before the crash, but dismissed as not important enough to ground the plane. Eight Marines and a sailor have been reprimanded for their roles in that decision. The crash killed four members of one family on the ground. The Corps' report classifies the accident as avoidable. Lieutenant Neubauer will be evaluated to determine whether he'll complete his training for deployment. Up next on ANN, NTSB, and Cessna comment on the second loss of a Skycatcher prototype. GE has its Gen X-2B engine airborne, and Discovery is on the way home. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from March 26th. I'm Paul Platt. The NTSB has issued its preliminary report on the March 19th loss of Cessna's second Model 162 Skycatcher prototype. The report says the aircraft was in a rapid and disorienting spin when the test pilot fired the ballistic recovery chute. Unlike the previous Skycatcher incident, this time the chute deployed properly and arrested the spin. But despite modifications made to allow jettisoning the chute once the spin had been arrested, it remained attached. The plane reportedly incurred minor damage in its contact with the ground, but then was dragged over a half mile into a fence by the relentless parachute, causing extensive damage. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton commented yesterday that the testing which produced the spins was aggressive. He says company engineers have obtained valuable, if unplanned, data on both crashworthiness and BRS operations. Regarding the effect of the setback on development and the delivery timetable, Pelton added, quote, "We're making every effort to minimize the impact on deliveries to our customers. The need for a modern, cost-effective two-seat trainer aircraft has never been greater, and we believe we are well-positioned to meet that need," unquote. NTSB investigators may have caught a break on Tuesday. That Pilatus PC-12 that crashed near Butte, Montana last weekend was not required to have airliner-style cockpit voice or data recorders, but it did have a recording engine monitor, and the board says it's been recovered. The New York Times reports the device measures engine data once every minute and might disclose whether the aircraft's turboprop power plant suffered any problems. It's a long shot, but investigators need every clue they can get at this point. Board Acting Chairman Mark Rosanker has said many unresolved questions hinge on the curious decision by the pilot to divert to Butte when the aircraft had been within 20 minutes of its planned destination of Bozeman, Montana. GE reports it's begun testing its new Gen X-2B jet engine on a 747 flying testbed. During the five-hour first flight on Monday, a single 2B demonstrated aircraft systems and instrumentation functionality, climbing close to 40,000 feet and establishing an engine performance baseline. About 40 flights with the engine are planned through summer. The engine is expected to receive certification this year and is being readied for Boeing's new 747-8. GE's engine program manager, Tom Briskin, says the engine, quote, "will bring a new level of economics to commercial travel," unquote. The shuttle Discovery separated from the International Space Station at 3:53 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday after spending 9 days, 20 hours, 10 minutes docked to the orbital outpost. Landing is scheduled for Saturday at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The station's newly expanded solar generating capacity, accomplished during mission STS-119, will provide power adequate for a doubling of the station's crew size from 3 to 6 this summer. The expansion of the normal crew size also hinges on proper functioning of a troublesome water recycling system. Discovery delivered a new part and is carrying home a sample of processed water for analysis to make sure the reclaimed water is drinkable. Still ahead, the Lakota helicopter reaches a milestone. Some Florida pilots want to hang on to their cheap rent. And could the latest laser incident be a repeat offender? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 26, 2009. I'm Paul Platt. After a somewhat difficult gestation process, it appears the U.S. Army's growing fleet of UH-72A Lakota helicopters is coming into its own. Those light utility helicopters recently passed the 10,000 flight hour milestone in military service, according to Eads North America, the manufacturer. 58 Lakotas have been delivered to the Army and Army National Guard for missions including homeland security, medical evacuation, logistics, and VIP flights. EADS North America Chairman and CEO Ralph Crosby Jr. boasts, quote, "All Lakotas have been delivered on time or ahead of schedule, and we remain committed to providing America's warfighters with the very best equipment to accomplish their important missions," unquote. The UH-72A is based on the Eurocopter EC-145 commercial helicopter. The military contract has led to a full-scale Lakota production capability in Columbus, Mississippi, and a pilot training facility in Grand Prairie, Texas. General aviation pilots with sweetheart hangar deals at Panama City Bay County International Airport in Florida are holding out for continued low rent at the airport's new location, scheduled to open next year. The Panama City News Herald reports some of the pilots have 15 years left on leases that charge them only $40 a month. The new airport is offering them new, state-of-the-art, hurricane-proof hangars, but the rent would be $120 a month. The airport authority would pay for the new hangar construction. Authority member Jerry Clemens tells the paper, quote, "We're making what we think is a very attractive offer," unquote. There are 26 pilots with existing leases at the old field. The new airport, located near West Bay, will have a 10,000-foot main runway to better accommodate commercial flights and other jet traffic. A decision hasn't been reached yet on whether a 5,000-foot crosswind runway paved with asphalt will be added to reduce congestion. There's been another incident involving a laser beam pointed toward the cockpit of an airplane flying near Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. Of interest, this latest incident may involve a repeat offender. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports a laser beam was flashed at an Alaska Airlines flight approaching the airport Tuesday night. The plane landed safely just after 8 p.m., and the crew told authorities the light came from an area about 2 miles northwest of the airport. Port of Seattle police say that's roughly the same area where other planes have been targeted by lasers in recent months. Last month, a 24-year-old was arrested on suspicion of targeting 13 airliners with a handheld laser pointer on the night of February 22nd, but that man was released 2 weeks ago when charges were not filed. Police said that suspect, who admitted he might have inadvertently shown the green laser beam at the planes while attending a party, is now said to be a person of interest in the latest case. However, there have been other incidents reported in the area while he had a great alibi. He was still in jail. Port of Seattle police are now getting help from the TSA and the FBI. Laser beams can cause temporary blindness, and people indicted for pointing them at aircraft can face federal charges under the U.S. Patriot Act. And finally today, FedEx is playing political hardball in its effort to avoid unions. The Wall Street Journal reports a FedEx order for 30 new Boeing 777 freighters was set up with a clause that gives the shipping company an out if its labor relations become subject to the National Labor Relations Board. Currently, FedEx operates under the terms of the 1926 Railway Labor Act. Because that law requires union votes to be held company-wide at the same time, it's very hard to hold an election among a worldwide workforce. Minnesota Congressman James Oberstar got language attached to the 2000 FAA reauthorization bill, which would have put FedEx under the National Labor Relations Board, considered more union-friendly. But that bill failed in the Senate. Congress is revisiting the issue this year. Regarding unions at FedEx, spokesman Maury Lane says, quote, "It's difficult to make large-scale capital investments like airplanes if you're unsure if you're going to be able to fully utilize them," unquote. In effect, the company is daring Congress to cost one of the last remaining U.S. manufacturing sectors a major order. In an interesting bit of irony, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, which staged a punishing strike against Boeing last fall, has been a champion of congressional attempts to put FedEx under the NLRB. Last week, falling orders prompted another 900 layoff notices at Boeing, including another 458 members of the IAM. I can't help but wonder if union members are still rooting for a new federal law that could cost Boeing 30 more orders. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, lessons from Flight 1549, Part 6. Pilot and flight attendant unions testify before Congress. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.